The air attack warning sounds like. This is the sound.
You're very welcome to the Clare Football Show on this bank holiday weekend. Boy, have we got a show for you today. There you go, and two tries go to war. Frankie goes to Hollywood, and this evening we've got a huge match in Clare. It is the Clare Cup semi-final between Ferns Celtic and Newmarket Celtic. And I am delighted to have on the line with me today none other than Alan Murphy. Alan, you've been very patient on the line today, and thank you for waiting around. And I really need to talk to you about this. This is a huge event.
Yeah, hi Tom, and thanks for having us again. A big occasion for us. You know, there's a few butterflies in our stomach, we'll say, but we're really looking forward to getting down to Frank Healy Park. We're only too aware of our competition. I mean, what can you say about Newmarket Celtic? I mean, anyone that watches or listens or hears about football in Clare, soccer in Clare, like, they know what their history is. Especially last year when they created a massive history of becoming the junior men's, FAI junior men's champions, which is literally the best team in the country, where we are, in the last four, the three teams that accompany us, as I've said already, is Newmarket, Avenue A, another fantastic team, great club, and Bridge, fine club. They're the 1-2-3 in the Premiership of Clare, and we are number three in second division, and we play a team that's 19 places up over us. But we can't wait to get going. We're really looking forward to an evening that we totally deserve for the way we've been playing, especially in 2024.
No, and it's been a tough winter to play any sort of football. Even to get out with your dog for a walk has been hard, because the weather has been relentless and wet, and it's not easy. But I believe you've had a fantastic run from the last 8 or 9 games.
Yeah, so the last time we spoke, Tom, we had a bit of a laugh when I started talking about our league performances. Like, we did have 2 good Shield runs. Whereas we didn't make the finals, but it really benefited for us that we could see who plays where and bringing a new player in and moving a player over and back. So then we went into the league. We had a good start. We had 2 very good games at the start of it. And then, as I had remarked to you before, like my beloved Leeds United, December came and we lost 3 in a row. So, but once that was over, we got into the new year. We started training early, and from the start of January, right up until last week, we have, between league and cup games played, we have 9 played, and we have only lost 1, and that was to the team who won the league last week. So we're on quite a good run now, as things go.
Yeah, and of course, you know yourself, cup competition is a different ball game, and you know it's set up for the underdog to take advantage of any complacency that might be in the Newmarket Celtic team. I'm just thinking back to the Coventry City performance against Manchester United, who you would absolutely love being a Leeds United fan. And, you know, I'd say Leeds fans were up and down in the pubs across Yorkshire there, giving it socks when Coventry equalised. I mean, this is the beauty. This is the romance about the Cup.
Well, it is. I mean, if I could just say, from when I was a young lad, to me, this will always be the Hockey Cup, because that's what I watched when I was a young lad on the sidelines over in Our Ladies, above in the 1 mile in, when Hermitage was playing, Our Ladies, when Lifford was playing, down in Dura when St. Michael's were playing. in the early 70s. It's something that it was, like you mentioned, and it's a very good comparison there, like the FA Cup, like it was the trophy to win, not the league. It was the trophy to win. And I remarked to all the lads in the dressing room after we had a victory in the quarterfinal over in Rosslevin against Avenue, I told them how it personally made me feel, and I'm sure the management agreed with me, like, to be a part of someone that is now at the semi-final stage in unbelievable company. I suppose, as I said in another to the Clare champion, the poor man's team out of the four, but we are absolutely relishing it. We know, as I said, the task at hand, we're absolutely aware, but we're really, really looking forward to it. And the lads deserve it. They deserve it.
And what time is kickoff tonight in Dura?
It's 7 o'clock, so we'll be down there just before six, like, and get all the stuff ready, as you know yourself from being involved. Like, you know, but if I could just, would you mind if I spoke about how we got there?
No, absolutely not. As I said, yeah. that's as key to the night that's yeah. in it, you know, so absolutely. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so the last time we spoke, we were just that following weekend heading out to Tulla to play at Tulla B, and we made a few changes for that game, and Tulla B were quite a good team to play against, I can tell you. They took the lead after 3 minutes, and it was the first time in four games that we had conceded. But there wasn't one bit of panic with the lads. Now, you don't panic after 3 minutes when you're down by a goal. Like, there's plenty of time. Like, but they just did, and they gave us a great game, and it was 1-1. We went into extra time. There was no panic. The lads just got on with it, and we came away with a 2-1 victory after a great challenge. We then saw who we were drawn against away from home again, Innistons on the AstroTurf in Leeds Road. Now, Innistons, I can't fathom how they're a bit lower in their division, because they are a fine football inside, and they played football against us that day. We again came back from being down. It was tit for tat. It was 1-0, 1-1, 2-1, 2-2. And we eventually, with 10 minutes to go, we got the winner, like, and we were bombarded the last 5-8 minutes by Innistons, but the lads were just resilient in the back line. Everyone came back from midfield. We did really well. And then we continued the run by going to my old club, Avenue, and they had a fantastic start in the quarterfinal. They were all over the field for 20 minutes, but we gradually came into it. We started to play very well towards the end of the first half. Start of the second half, that continued about 15 minutes into it. Got an absolute cracker of a goal by a former New Market player who's our striker now. And we had to not see out the 35 minutes, but definitely see out the last 5 or 10 minutes, because they bombarded us again, and we held resilient again, which is something we'll probably have to do from the start tonight. But look, you don't know, as you said, like, you know, I mean, we're so aware of who we're playing, and we're so aware of the task at hand, and we're very realistic. But we're also realistic about what we can do when we gel and form well together out in the field.
And, you know, it's like everything. I mean, on any given night, anything can happen. And you've got poor conditions probably this evening. It was wet when I was coming into the studio. That water is going to stay on the pitch. You know, all you need is a bad challenge by either team, and you're down to 10 men. And then it changes the whole complexity of the match. I remember back in the day, I was lucky enough. As a young man, I played in one Clare Cup final over in De Beers against Avenue United, and they had reached the semi final, I think, of the FAI Cup that year. They had a fine side. There was players being looked at cross channel and everything. We were the equivalent of the first division today, the first division side against the Premier side. So very, you know, similarities with Fern to a degree. And no one gave us a hope, and we lost 5-1. And then years later, I was manager against Bunratty Cracklow. So again, we lost 3-2. So as is from a winning point of view, but you know what? The occasion means more, because I still remember both occasions so well, when you've forgotten an awful lot of what has happened in your life. But those things, especially sport, you remember where you were when such and such scored a great goal, all that sort of stuff. So I think tonight has the essence to be possibly a cup shock.
Well, It sounds great.
No pressure.
That's the typical if Carlsberg did semifinals and yes. Disney did the movie. Like, but what I will say is, like, quite a lot of our players, even though there's 19 places between Newmarket and ourselves, and that's not me counting, that's what the Clare Champion wrote this week, or the people in the Clare Champion rather wrote this week. Like, we have had experience from, Newmarket have numerous finals played, not just in Frank Ely Park, but all over. But, you know, our club, as I said to you before in the last podcast, the, like, we're only going since 2001. And initially, the club was set up just to accommodate an under 12 and an under 16 team. It went that way for quite some time till they went up to youths, and then they felt there was a need and the numbers for a junior men's team. And that only started 3 years ago. And it started with one junior men's team who got promoted from the third division up to the second division. The following year, which was last year, we had an A team and a B team. I was with the B team. Richard Cahill was with the A team, and Timmy Healy was with the A team. And the A team stayed up with literally the last kick of the game not to be relegated. So we've gone from being a team, a junior team that only started 3 years ago, to be in the last four of the Clare Cup playing below in Frank Healy Park. And I just want to mention that Frank Healy, his son Timmy is involved with management, and his sons are involved with the team as well. Leonard Meaney was involved with Timmy, was involved at starting off around Celtic. His two sons are playing tonight. And whereas I'm a Hermitage man that was with Hermitage, Clocklea, Celtic and Avenue, my son Tig will be playing tonight as well. So it is very much, as I spoke to you the last time, Fern Celtic been a real community club. Like, it's very much a family club as well. And those lads have played for the A team in 2022, Shield final against Bunratty, and the lads I had in the B team were down at a Shield final against Fairgreen Celtic last year. So the most of them have experience down there, but not playing the quality that we're facing tonight. But look, as you say, anything can happen. You live in hope, like, you know, but we're quite realistic. Like, we just want to take, as our trainer Dave Phillips, I forgot to mention them, Dave Phillips, we have Reese Phillips there training, James O'Connell from Cork, and Timmy Healy, I did mention, like, but as Dave pointed out to the lads the other night, to train, and we had a very casual training, like, you take 5 minutes again, you take the next 5 minutes. You can't go gung-ho and say, geez, wouldn't be great if we scored the first goal. The thing is to read the game like anything else. I'm only saying what any coach or manager was saying, as you well know yourself, Tom.
And I mean, realistically, when you see the Newmarket Celtic side, you've got Shane Cusack probably in goals, fine goalkeeper. You know, Owen Hayes, international striker. Jack Kelly came from Shannon Town. I mean, they've got a formidable side when it comes to, as you say, when you're looking on the pitch and you're saying, this is quality. Experience-wise, give me three players. I know we said it before. You've got Reese Phillips as your goalkeeper, I presume. Who else would you be looking for a big performance tonight?
Lucas, I mean, squad performance is most important. And you did ask me the last time if I was to pick three players on the team that we would always have on our team sheet. The fact of it is that, you know, there's at least nine, I'm trying to think, you know, that we would name straight away. And then we'd see who's in college or who's at work and how can we fit in that they're not there, kind of the stuff. What my answer I gave you before about that was, first of all, starting with Reese, like, he's very vocal, he's very experienced, very good goalkeeper. But the block of the back line we have, we've a very experienced midfield, and we now have added Keche there from, he was playing with Newmarket up until Christmas, and then he came to us, but that was kind of a, you know, he's very familiar with some of the lads that play with us, and I knew Keith there, he was with an Avenue team that I was with, and stuff like that. So I guess my answer, and I said to you before, I'm not sitting on the fence, like, it's just, we've a solid, solid back line. We have a good midfield, and we have a good top two, but when they gel together, they're a force to be reckoned with. but we know the force we're up against tonight as well. It's just when the lads play well together, they're just, we've a mixture of youth and some older players, and you know, when they communicate together and stuff like that, you know things work out. But you know, we'll see how it goes tonight.
And you said Keith Shea, is it? What's the Shea being the surname, is it?
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
He scored the winner against Avenue in the Cork final.
Oh, excellent. Well, I was going to say goals wins games, but having a top keeper and a back line, you can't build any side without having a serious back line. And I know we spoke about it before. You have a key man in the centre of defence who organises, and he's invaluable to you. Listen, I just want to wish you the very, very best of luck tonight, Alan. And we'll be in touch later on as we preview the new season for 24-25, let's say towards the end of the summer. But just looking to tonight, it's a wonderful opportunity. And you don't often get these opportunities. And all I can say is, being there, worn the T-shirt, I wish you the very, very best of luck. Because, as I said, whether it's 90 minutes or 95 minutes or 96 minutes, you're going to be saying something similar to your team tonight. You got to embrace it. You got to enjoy it. And you got to grasp the opportunity with two hands. And I wish you the very, very best in the Clare Cup semi-final versus Newmarket Celtic.
Thanks a million, Tom. And again, thanks a million for giving us the opportunity to be on and somewhat try and promote a small, not small in player size, but a small in community size, and hopefully get some more on board with us. But we really appreciate any time you give us.
Now, listen, never a problem. And thanks a million for joining us here on the Clare Football Show on Scariff Bay Radio. Thanks a million, Alan.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks. Goodbye. No, thanks.
Now, welcome back to the Clare Football Show here on Scariff Bay Radio. I'm delighted to be joined by a Newmarket Celtic assistant manager today, Owen O'Brien. But before we start there, I am sick of Newmarket Celtic. I took my under 14 girls up there last Friday night. We got beaten 4-0, and then the senior men's team here in the First Division got beaten 3-0. And now I have to talk to their assistant manager about being in the Clare Cup semi-final against Ferns Celtic. Owen, sorry for a bit of a mad introduction there, but I'm delighted to have you on the line today. How's things over on that side of Clare? Is it raining?
Hi, Thomas. How are you? I was just going to say, yeah, all the joys of summer soccer. Definitely not the conditions that we've been used to for a cup semi-final doubleheader in May. But I suppose we're well used to it at this stage, aren't we?
We are, and I have to ask you a question. Would you consider yourself now this will give our listeners your allegiances right down deep. Are you the Man City or Liverpool of the Premier League in Clare?
Oh, wow. I'd need a little more time to think about that one, I'd say.
That's okay.
All the Newmarket lads will be Liverpool fans. I better say Liverpool to that question.
All right, okay. Well, I'm neither, so you're going to have to guess between now and the end of the interview what I am. But anyway, we'll continue on. Newmarket Celtic, give us a little bit of a background to their season so far. Start off with last year. What a wonderful success. And I saw your captain, I don't know if he was captain last year, on the line the other night. Paddy, what's his name again?
Owen Hayes is the captain and Paddy Purcell is the manager, yeah.
Yes, sorry, Paddy Purcell. Yeah, no, I would have seen him play for Limerick over the years, let's say. And yeah, he was a fantastic centre-back and a fantastic captain. And he brought that experience to the Newmarket side when he won the FAI Cup final as well. So give us a kind of a background from where things happened at the end of last season, fantastic season, and where we are this season.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. As you said there, it was a fantastic achievement last year. It was the one-year anniversary of it there on Thursday or Friday. Great memories and something we'll have to cherish, you know, in years to come. In the off-season then, we took a break for a month. We got back at it and, you know, the joy, if you had a good season, is you can use that momentum to, you don't tend to lose players. Everyone is kind of motivated and everyone's mad to get back in August. So we were back early enough. We were back in the middle of July and August. We started our league campaign quite well. Didn't go too well in the corresponding competitions this year in the FAI and Munster Junior. We were out of both of those in November, which I suppose demonstrates how difficult it is to win those and, you know, how consistent that you have to be throughout the season. We were very pleased with then how we responded after Christmas to that, to those setbacks, and our record has been quite good so far. The weather in March and April, I suppose for every team, there was a lot of call-offs, and it was kind of difficult to plan then in that period. It was kind of odd. You expect call-offs in December and January, and you'd make, you know, a plan for alternative training sessions and stuff for that, but you don't really expect that in March and April. In the middle of that period, then we won the Munster Champions Cup on penalties against Villa, and we also took home the Hughie Kelly Cup against Avenue on a Friday night as well. So it's been intermittent, I suppose, is the word you'd use. And we're here now at the business end of both the league and cup, and delighted to still be in both, and looking forward to our semi final tonight against Fern Celtic.
Would you say that success breeds success in the sense that you get a mentality? The player steps out onto a pitch expecting to win games, and as I said, from a management point of view, you have to keep the standards extremely high.
I would, absolutely, and I suppose the age profile of the squad has changed. That last year, you know, we would have had a lot of young players come through from our youth squad who, you know, it was their first year in men's football, and it's all about developing good habits. And if you've been there and done that, like a lot of them did on that day in the FAI, and also winning the league last year, you know, that's invaluable experience, because you can talk, and for, you know, coaches and managers to say, look, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this. But ultimately, until the players have done it and experienced it, you know, it's not in the locker for them. So I was delighted that they got such a positive experience last year in their first and maybe second season of adult football. But the onus is on them now to drive it on, you know, and encourage the next group coming forward, which we've seen as well this season.
And tell me, if you were, I suppose, bringing the microscope on maybe three, maybe four players in your side, if you had everyone available in your squad, who would be the four key players? Because everyone does. And I actually had a bit of a heated argument with my daughter, and I just want to say she's only 12, the other day, about, I mentioned a particular player in the team, and I said, oh, I hope I have such and such. And she goes, does that mean the rest of us aren't good enough? And I was like, kind of going, no, hold on a second. I didn't say that. I'm just saying, against the best teams, you want your best players. So from your point of view, okay, and that's not isolating any other player in the squad, who would be your first four names on the team sheet week in, week out, if you had them?
Well, at the moment, we're playing Sunday, Thomas, so the same team,
I'm never on the
team sheet. And that's kind of a big challenge in management is, you know, going from, you know, 3-day turnaround, and I know Jurgen Klopp talks about this a lot, and it's not quite the same at our level, but it's similar. You know, the training sessions at this point of the year are kind of finished. We're doing patching up bodies and getting ready for the next game from game to game. But I suppose you'd have to start, you know, at the very back and starting goals. And, you know, we've got the best goalkeeper in junior football, in my opinion, in Shane Cusick. He's really dug us out an awful lot. And, I mean, you know, the focus can be on goal scorers, and the focus can be on creating chances and that, and nobody really sees the saves and the kicking ability and the solidity that he gives us in at the back and in goals. So I definitely have to start with Shane. Everyone knows about the talents of Owen Hayes, but I focus definitely on the younger players that have come in as well. And you know, it is difficult to come in when you're 18, 19 into, you know, a team full of established guys who've played together. And I think in particular, Tadhg Noonan has had an excellent season up front this season. You know, a really big physical guy. Gained a lot of confidence from last season and been in around the setup, so he's one. And the last person I mentioned is the transfer we got last season in Jack Kelly, who, if you ask me, would be the first name in the team sheet. And, you know, I'm not talking about flash passes, I'm not talking about, you know, finishing chances, but just in the unseen stuff, somebody to sit in front of the back four and just really good habits, impacting the game all the time and encourages his teammates. So, again, I could have picked 10 or 12 names, but I suppose those would be the three that have really stood out to me this season.
And Jack Kelly, in a previous show, I'm nearly sure Jim Madden possibly mentioned him. Did he come from a different side?
That's right. He was with Shannon Town previously, yeah.
That's right. And he mentioned that he would probably be one of your key players, and he would bring something, a different dimension, let's say, to the overall side. No, listen, Owen, that's absolutely great. Looking forward now to Fern Celtic. Like myself, over the years playing with Mount Shannon, it's not easy to be the favourites sometimes. And as I said, the temptation with the amount of league matches you've had in the cup competitions is to kind of mix your team up, as I said, to kind of patch him up, you know, walk and wound, get your best team out as possible. A very impressive season for Fearn, and especially they're only in existence, I think, 3 years as a senior team. So you can, like, it's a bit like Coventry City. You never know on the day what can happen.
For sure, absolutely, and we won't be taking any team lightly at this stage of the season. I think the division, Tom, is kind of aren't really relevant at this point of the season. If you're playing against a team who has something to play for, whether it's at the top of the league like Fearn, they're third in their division, you know, or somebody battling relegation, they're really dangerous opponents in the cup competition. And, you know, I know that they're in the second division, but if you look down through their lineup, a lot of them ex-Premier experience, Reece Phillips, who would have played a lot against Reece when he played with Lifford and with Avenue, very solid goalkeeper. They have Keith Shea, who was with us at the start of the season, really good player, but we were disappointed to lose. They have Liam Meaney in the middle of the park with good energy, and Shane Talty, who's ex-Armitage. So, I mean, they're going to be a big threat. We have looked at them last week. And, you know what to expect at this point of the year. It's going to be a cup semi-final. It's going to be a battle. The conditions won't be good tonight. So, you know, we know exactly what we're in for tonight, and it's going to be a really tough game.
No, it's funny. As a side issue, you mentioned Reece Phillips and you mentioned Shane Cusack, your own goalkeeper. One thing that I feel is lacking, and as a goalkeeper myself back in the day, I was always number two, but you do your job and you'd be decent at handling, shot stopper as such, but your number one was always your number one. I find that there's a lack of goalkeeping coaching in County Clare as such, from underage level right up. We with the under-14s, we don't have a goalkeeper. We're lucky to have two lads for the under-12s. But generally speaking, the art of goalkeeping, as an island, we're very lucky. The national team has always had really, really top goalkeepers right through the days to back to Seamus McDonough, Paddy Bonner, you know, Shay. They've always been there. But do you have a specialised goalkeeping coach with Newmarket Celtic?
Yeah, we would, yeah. Yeah, and like you said there, it is an island, you know, it's a specialist position. It's completely different to the other 10 outfield positions. We're actually lucky enough that we have a sub-goalkeeper in Dermot Gannon, who's there every single evening as well, and that's a really huge point. But Johnny Ryan will be our goalkeeping coach, and the level of detail that these guys will go into, both in their training sessions and with preparing for every eventuality. I'm not sure if you saw there with some of the games we played that went to penalties, that the guys would have had a meeting beforehand and would have known generally where the opposition penalty kicks will go. And that's the level of detail that you're dealing with these guys. So it's great, you know, that those guys can kind of work together and do their own thing. And there's a great camaraderie between them and also the B team goalkeeping set as well.
And is that, did you say Shawnee Ryan, is it?
Johnny Ryan, yeah.
Sorry, Johnny Ryan. Sorry, apologies. Johnny Ryan. No, I mean, the art of goalkeeping, especially the as you step up the levels, the margins are always tighter. So when you're playing, let's say when you've got two teams and it's very tight, nil all, it's you know, it's a save, one save that can decide whether a team is going to get you 3 points, a draw, whatever. And I know it's quite a logical thing, but it's a key role. So when it comes to Fearn, sorry, now there's a call coming in at the same. I don't know if you can hear that on the line, but we're just ignoring
busy,
it for the moment.
Busy in a Friday, Thomas.
It is. Listen, don't even go there. The thing about it is, Owen, Fearn, it's going to be a tight game tonight. Conditions aren't going to be great. Can you predict possibly a scoreline if you're a betting man, if you're going down to Paddy Power's? Would you be looking at maybe, you'd be hoping for, I suppose a win is a win. A cup competition, as long as you get through next round and you're going straight into a final, it would be a wonderful way to finish the season lifting the Clare Cup if you can get past Fearn tonight.
Absolutely. And look, with any of the cup competitions we've been in, that's been the focus. We haven't looked past any of the rounds or the end game, because ultimately that's how you get turned over. So we're just looking to put in our best performance tonight. We're looking to do, you know, work on our principles that we've been working on since September, and hopefully that'll get us over the line.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And your nomination for the Irish, Post, is it going to be dragged out now until September 26 or 27? John O'Shea is currently there. Have you anyone, let's say, that you would put in, anyone from the League of Ireland or cross-channel? As I said, this is purely as a side issue to Newmarket playing for Celtic. We try and give the whole holistic approach here.
I'd like to think that the FAI know what they're doing and they're delaying us into the master plan that they'll unveil Pep Guardiola at the end of the season for September, but you can hold me to that.
Well, maybe it was Man City that you were more aligning yourself to from the beginning of the interview when I asked you, were you City or Liverpool? Listen, Owen, thank you very, very much for your interview today. I really, really appreciate it. The very, very best of luck to Newmarket Celtic tonight in the semi-final, and we'll talk to you at a later point during the summer, and we'll do a preview of the club leading into the new season of 24-25. Owen O'Brien, assistant manager of Newmarket Celtic, thanks a million.
Super, Thomas, thank you.
Now we are back and we are delighted to be joined by the legend that is Jim Madden, more of an encyclopedia than you will find in any library when it comes to soccer right across the world. I would say I'd equate him better than Jimmy McGee. That's the way I feel about this man. Jim Madden, you're very, very welcome for our preview of the Clare Cup semi-finals, should I say, because there's two of them happening and we're going to start with Fearn Celtic against Newmarket Celtic. It's basically the underdog against Goliath. How's it going, Jim?
Thanks, Tom. I'm afraid that build-up really did make me blush, because I did meet the great Jimmy McGee on one or two occasions and I really enjoyed his company. Yes, Tom, this is the big weekend in Clare Soccer when we have the two cup semi-finals. These are the games that, outside of league titles and all of that, that everybody wants to win the cup and have a good run in it. As you said there, tonight, Friday, we have the first semi-final at 7 o'clock at the County Ground when Fearn Celtic take on Newmarket Celtic. Now, this is a very big challenge for Fearn, who have had a good season in the second division. They're lying third in the table at the moment and they have a very good chance of being promoted through the qualifiers. Fearn Celtic is a great story, Tom. The club was founded as a schoolboys and girls club about 20 years ago by Leonard Meaney and Timmy Healy. Now, Timmy would be a son of the great Frank Healy, who everybody in Clare Soccer knows. And then the other side of the coin is that both Leonard and Timmy have sons on the junior team that will play this Friday night. The junior team was only started 3 years ago and they won promotion from the third division and are now challenging, as I said, for promotion from the second. The manager, Alan Murphy, who you've spoken to, has put together a very good squad with a mixture of youth and experience, including Reece Phillips in goal, Ben Mungovan, Adam Fleming, Tyke Murphy, Josh Healy. They're all part of a great team effort and currently on an 8-game unbeaten run since the turn of the year. Now, Newmarket, for their part, Tom, as you know, are the team that won the FAI Junior Cup in 23 and then went on to win the President's Cup and the Munster Champions League Cup. So this is a team with an incredible cup pedigree within Clare and in Munster and probably nationally. So really, Fearn Celtic, this is their cup final.
Yeah, and it's going to be some occasion. I know the weather isn't great and we shouldn't focus on that, but it's been a hard slog getting games played. You mentioned about the shake-up for, let's say, going up to the first division. Fearn would be, so basically, regardless of what happens today, they're in with a shout of going up to the Clare First Division?
They are indeed. Last Wednesday, Fairgreen Celtic, who won that division, have already been promoted. Man of Celtic look likely to go up a second, and then Fearn Celtic will be involved in a playoff more than likely in order to be promoted as well. And with the run that they're on and their confidence, you wouldn't bet against them being promoted either.
And tell me, is there a bit of a shake-up with the Premier League? Is it one team have already been relegated, or is that due to change? No, I was speaking to the manager of Mount Shannon Celtic there the other night. They had a 2-2 draw, I think, against Shannon Town. And I think there was a little bit of banter between the managers afterwards, and they were just chatting. And is it that one player team has already been relegated from the Premier, that there might only be...
Well, the problem with the Premier League this year, I think the league handled it very badly. Kilkishan were promoted, as were Shannon Hibbs. However, Shannon Hibbs players did not want to play in the Premier League because they felt age-wise and the commitment needed to train 3 times a week, they were not in a position to give it. Now, unfortunately, the league in their wisdom decided, well, if you don't want it, you're not going to have in any team, which I thought was incredibly... Now, I am not on the league, but my own feeling was that was not the way to deal with this. So as a result, the Premier League has only 9 teams.
Maybe I shouldn't refer to you as Jimmy McGee. Maybe more Eamon Dunphy now would be Jim.
I'd like to think that I tell it as I see it, and I do think that Hibs, with the facilities they have and everything else, they have a fine 2 pitches here in Shannon. They're well maintained. They have a good dressing room for when teams are here. And I think that these are important. And you can't actually throw out the bathwater with the child. So, and I think that there's too many members of the league in my book have this self-righteous attitude of, well, you'll do what we tell you to do or you won't do it at all. That's not the way sport should be. Now, admittedly, it's the way sometimes sport has been in this country, but that's not the way, in my opinion, that it should be in 2024. So there is one team going to be relegated, and at the minute that looks, well, it is going to be Cool FC. They're a couple of points adrift of Kilkishan, Tulla and Kilrush. I think Kilrush would be or Tulla would be the closest, but they are well safe at this stage. And so Cool will be relegated, and there will be 2 teams promoted from the Premier League or from the First Division. Now, unfortunately, if I'm right, currently at the top of the First Division, it's a B team. So it's going to be a team from second or third position that will be promoted. Looks like probably being Shannon Olympic, and I can't remember who else, Tom, off the top of my head. But basically, I think that it's time that the whole league thing was re-examined, and maybe we'd be better off having an 8-team Premier League instead of 10, because I don't think there are 10 Premier teams in Clare at the moment.
Yeah, I haven't seen the men's senior games now for quite a while, and as I said, I keep in touch with Mount Shannon Celtic for obvious reasons, but this has been an issue for many, many years, and the league have had many debates on it, and there's been meetings and so forth to try and get a kind of a happy medium, because there was a time when Avenue and Newmarket, you know, dominated the First Division and couldn't go up, and then you had a third place team or even a fourth place team or sometimes even a fifth place team, depending on who they were.
Right.
Tell me something, just in relation to Shannon, just explain to me again about Shannon Hibbs. Shannon Hibbs basically have three teams, and because their First Division side didn't want to go into the Premier, they were basically said, well, you have to step out as a club completely. Is that correct?
That is correct. They have no team. And what has happened then is that the team that would have gone up joined Shannon Olympic as their B team at Olympic. And they are now in the top couple of teams in the third division, managed by Jimmy Houlihan, a man that you would have known, I would have thought, over the years. And Jimmy has put together a very big squad, a very strong squad, and they look like being promoted, with Callan United, who are from Mullock, who have really set that league on fire for their first season, and they're already well clear at the top of the table. They play their games out of Mullock in North Clare, and so they will be promoted, and it looks like Shannon Olympic B will also be one of the teams going up there.
And has there been, a rivalry of a ferocious level in Shannon over the years, or has it been a happy kind of rivalry? There's so many teams, let's say, that have either been in existence in Shannon Then we had, I suppose, the controversial time of Newtown wanting to leave the Clare League and go to Limerick, right. And you would have been the chairman at the time. And the thing about it is you've got Shannon Hibbs, and then you had the other side that would have played on the kind of the back road from Shannon to Ennis. I can't, what was the name again? They played on a pitch on the back road.
That was Rhinanna.
Rhinanna. Many a time did we go up to Rhinanna, yeah. And have a great, and they had a couple of great players, and I think the Kellys as well. Indeed. There was a couple of Pelly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Shannon has a rich history of soccer, and when, how would that have been seen in the realms of soccer as a whole in Shannon when a club like Shannon Hibbs is basically being told, sorry lads, but you have to leave the room?
Well, basically, I feel that Shannon, and I live in Shannon, is that the rivalry between the clubs is mainly at committee level, right?
which often can be the case, yeah.
Yes, and it is politically motivated, and we won't give an inch on this, that, or the other thing. As a result, we've never had a team in Shannon for a long, long time, Tom, that is capable of challenging Newmarket or Avenue at the top level, which is an absolute disgrace in my book. This year, Shannon Town will finish in mid-table. They're the only Premier team in Shannon at the minute. And the term used to me on a couple of occasions by opposing managers, it looks like their players have down tools. Now, whether that's fair or not, I don't know, but they have definitely lost games that they shouldn't have. The three top teams in the county, and in my book at the minute, Avenue look like winning the Premier League. They have an advantage over everybody else by a few points. Newmarket, I don't think, can catch them up, no matter what happens. And United would be in second, and Lifford would be probably up there as well. Bridge United have come very good in the second part of the season and have a very strong underage structure. And their youth team won the cup last night against Avenue. That game was played in Newmarket because the county ground was declared unplayable. Now, having three games in a row at the county ground Thursday, Friday and Saturday is not the good planning in my book anyway, particularly as the weather hasn't been very kind for some months now. And I know we've had a week or two of fairly decent weather, but it takes longer than that for pitches to recover, you know.
Tell me, Jim, I'm going to stop you there now because we're all over the shop today when it comes to where we're going for the Premier.
Sorry,
but listen, I'm going to try and bring it back on track again, right? You mentioned Bridge United. Bridge United are playing Avenue United in the second semi-final on Saturday.
Yes,
that's taking place
at 5:30 at the county ground.
Yeah, again, you know, it's a big occasion. You've got two rival sides. What do you make of this semi-final?
I think this should be a really top game. The Bridge are playing very good soccer at the minute, and Avenue have had a very good season. However, and are leading the Premier League and look like winning it. However, I think in the background, Avenue will be a bit disappointed with the way the season went outside the county, because they were beaten in the Munster semi-final by St. Michael's of Tipperary, a club that I'm very fond of, and they were also beaten in the FAI in an earlier round by Talla United. Now, the Talla game in the FAI looked like a game that they should have won, and the second game against St. Michael's, you looked as if they were the better side as well for a long period. And ironically, in both games, they led 1-0 at half-time, but were beaten in the second half by both sides, St. Michael's and Talla, scoring twice. Now, I think that will motivate Avenue players big time, because they'll be keen to show that they can deliver in the Cup. They have a very experienced squad at Avenue at the minute. Dylan Casey stands out, in my opinion, as a centre half. He's probably one of the best around. They have Stephen McGann in midfield, and who are two. Both of these guys have stood out against outside opposition this year for me. Against St. Michael's, Stephen McGann looked very, very good, and Nah as well. Then they up front, they have Ronan Kern, who can score goals for fun. They have Mark Roach, and they have an other host of very, very good players who have plenty of experience and who are still in their prime, for want of a better word. So you'd have to imagine that David Russell will feel that Avenue players, once they keep their focus and in the county ground, should be capable of seeing the Bridge. Now, the Bridge, in my book, are playing very well at the moment and have some very, very good players as well. The first person at the Bridge that I am a big fan of is their goalkeeper, John Mulready. Now, John has played with the Bridge for a number of years, but and in between then he went into Janesborough in Limerick, where he didn't win the league, I think, but he did win, would you believe it, with them. He won the Oscar Trainer, because Limerick decided one year to put a club in, and Janesborough was the club that volunteered, and they won the Oscar Trainer. And then he went to Aisling Anacotti. Didn't work out quite so well at Aisling for him, and he moved back to live in the Bridge, and he's married with, I think, he has two children, and he is now playing very, very well indeed. And as I said, I would rate him one of the best junior goalkeepers in Irish soccer. Then in midfield, they have a young fella called Jack O'Halloran. Now, he's a very, very talented young player. He's still a youth, by the way. And he was a very important part of the Munster youth team that recently won the quadrangular up in Inishowen, where they were unbeaten in games against Connacht, Ulster and Leinster. So he's a guy that you really would be well worth going to see. Then the side is captained by Christy Griffin. Christy has been around a long time. Very, very good defender. And other players of note then are Lee Mulready, Ryan Perez, Alan Mulready. And then they have a man that I have had great time for over the years, and the wily veteran, Trevor Maxwell. He came on as a sub recently, because I thought Trevor had kind of retired, but Trevor tells me, no, I haven't, Jim. And he came on as a sub against Shannon Town. So they really have a good squad. They'll really be up for it, because as you know, Tom, the rivalry between the Bridge, Newmarket and Avenue is fairly competitive, to say the least.
That's a brilliant preview, I have to say now, Jim, you know, and I know I can't plumass you too much, but I have learned so much. And as I said, I've stepped away from the weekend runnings of soccer for many years now, but I actually think I played against Trevor Maxwell many a time. What would Trevor be actually age-wise?
Now, if you think I'm going to commit to an age of somebody, you are talking to the wrong man.
Fair enough. Fair enough, Jim. Fair enough. Well, listen, go on.
Tom, you're a music man. And as I said to my doctor recently when he asked me what age was I said, Doctor, should you have my date of birth up there on the screen? And I said, did you not know that my favourite song is by Willie Nelson, Don't Let the Old Man In?
Well, listen, you're not an old man, and we've certainly let you in today, so that doesn't quite work now with me at all. Can I ask you something else? Overall, it's coming to the end of the Premier League. You've mentioned Avenue look, how do you say, dead certs for another title. Same old teams, you know, winning the trophies, competing for the trophies. I personally would love to see Ferne do well tonight in the semi-final. Hopefully they'll have the luck on their side. Cup competitions have been kind of put into the shade with the kind of Premier League money over in England, from a point of view of the romance of the FA Cup and so forth. It's a little bit sad that the bigger game in the worldwide kind of stage is so dominated with money and funding, whereas this is the core of what soccer is about. It's tonight over in Dura, Frank Healy Park, and Saturday night. This is where it's at. If you love your soccer, this is where it's at.
It is indeed, and there is no doubt that I think that Alan Murphy will have his team well tutored, because he has been around as a coach for a long time, has a lot of experience, and he knows the time of day. The big problem he has is that while defensively they should be able to keep it tight, Newmarket do have some incredible players really in their side. Like, I mean, they have a young fella there, Tig Noonan, who's a very, very impressive player. They have Owen Hayes then, who's the talisman. They show, whatever you like to call it, the example of what can be achieved in junior soccer, and Owen epitomises that in my book totally. He's a very likeable guy. He's incredibly committed to his team. He has played for Ireland at amateur level, and he is still on the squad, which looks like he may have about 25 caps, if not more, both here and abroad with the Irish amateur team. They have then a young guy at centre-half who was at Sheffield United for a couple of years until I gather it was homesickness that brought him home, Harvey Cullinan. Now, Harvey isn't a big man, but by God, can he get up for a header. Very, very good around the box when it comes to corner kicks and set pieces. Scores a good few goals and that kind of thing. And then they have Aaron Rudd. They have a guy called Nathan up front as well. He plays wide. And he's a lovely winger to watch play. Great close ball control and all of that. So eventually you'd imagine that they have enough in the kitty to wear down Ferdinand, no matter what Ferdinand do. So as the game goes on, you'd imagine that these guys have the skill, the experience to get a grip and just eventually do enough to win.
Okay, give me your predictions, Jim. The semi-final tonight, Ferns Celtic versus. Give me a scoreline tonight.
Well, I won't give you a score, but basically, I would think Newmarket should win with a couple of goals to spare. I can't see Newmarket conceding very much because they have Shane Cusick in goal. And if I did say John Mulready was the best goalkeeper around, Shane isn't far behind him. And Shane has a lot of experience. He's big, he's tall, he's quick, which you need with a goalkeeper. And then the defence know him very well and they trust him. So you'd imagine that Newmarket could win with maybe 2-3 goals to spare. The other semi-final is a bit harder to call. And I did, when I was looking at doing a little bit of homework on it, Tom, just to show you I do a bit of homework on these things, I felt that this game could go all the way and could go to extra time. But I do fancy that Avenue's hunger, both teams would be hungry for it, but I do think that Avenue, with the disappointment of losing out in the FAI and the Munster Junior to games that they felt and that other people have felt that they should have won. I was at the game against St. Michael's down in Care for a long period in that game. They looked the better team and just couldn't convert their chances into more than one goal. I felt if they got more than one, they'd have snuffed out St. Michael's. But St. Michael's have been around the block for so long and have so many experienced players that eventually they got the grip and they won by 2-1. And of course, St. Michael's then went on to win the Munster Junior Cup when they beat Villa a couple of weeks ago.
Well, I'll tell you, Jim, Luke Fleming isn't with us today. He's doing his proper job, and I'm kind of solo in the studio. But I'd like to just wish the four sides the very, very best of luck. So if anyone is around Ennis and you have a couple of hours to spare, certainly it'll be time well spent to go over to Frank Healy Park and catch one of the semi-finals. But before we close, Jim, can I get your kind of your feeling on the current FAI standing with our senior men's manager? There's been a departure in the FAI, and now John O'Shea is back in charge for another couple of, I won't say meaningless games, but it's like he's, you know, it hasn't been handled well the last 6 months when it's come to Ireland getting a new manager.
No, it hasn't. And to be honest with you, if I was John O'Shea, after what he did the first time, came in at short notice with Brian Kerr and Paddy McCarthy, the coach at Crystal Palace, they did a fine job. They were unfortunate they were beaten, but did they draw one game and lose the other? Anyway, I would have told the FAI to take a long jump the second time because I think they've treated John O'Shea with a total lack of respect.
I would agree for a man of his playing stature, and it's like they say about nice guys come last. He always comes across as such a nice guy. And I remember years ago I was over at the Ireland Holland game over in Amsterdam. We went out to Nijmegen, and the under 21 team were captained by John O'Shea that night. And again, I think an underrated footballer. I mean, he has Premier medals that only current Manchester United players can dream about, and a very underrated centre back. But what a player!
Yes, indeed. And as I said, he does appear to come across I have never met him, Tom, or anything like that, but he does come across as a very decent man. He is very keen on the job, and I would think that he wouldn't be terribly demanding either. I just don't know what the hell the FAI are at. I think they have insulted more people than anything else, and the only people that have really had fun with this is the bookies. Because if you were to sit down and make a list of who was favourite this every other month, you'd nearly have a list as long as your arm.
It's true, and I mean we've had all the candidates from Neil Lennon right up to let's say I think even someone I said or maybe Stephen Kenny will come back. So I mean we're you know, and then we have the Greece manager as well, and we had the manager of Georgia whose name Bonnie or something, name escapes me, but it was all a case of like, well, if we qualify, I'm sticking with the team that I have. And they're waiting. It's like the halls, the dark halls of kind of seedy places that were, you know, there's a representative of the FAI kind of sticking their head out, kind of going, is there any chance you'll come? But it just doesn't seem to be the right way of doing things.
No, I think that they got really hung up on the the England under 20 side. Now, my impression was that he had no more intention of leaving his job with the English under, is it under 20 or 20, whatever?
Yes, correct.
He had no more intention of leaving that.
Lee Carsley.
I can't remember who.
Yeah, Lee huh? Carsley. Lee Carsley, Jim.
Lee
I just, Carsley, yeah, sorry, yeah. I spat it out there.
He had, and I gathered that from what I have read, that over a long number of months, that himself and the CEO of the English FA, who is also a man that is of Irish extraction, that they have an incredibly good relationship. He is extremely well looked after, highly regarded. Why would he come to a half-arsed organisation where he's on a loser no matter what he does? So I would have thought that basically he was never going to be a runner. And I think that they got deluded into thinking, oh, we have a package here or we have a proposition that nobody can turn down. Well, they've now seen that people have turned it down and they could end up, like, I don't know whether Chris Hughton still has a bit left in him because I always loved him as a player. But he's probably a bit too gone past it in a sense because of the way the game is played. Neil Lennon didn't really appeal to me very much, but the man that I thought might make a fist of it was Chris Coleman because of his experience with Wales now, and that he has Irish connections. Maybe they're waiting for to see if the manager at Celtic will get fired, and then they can see would he take the job.
You know, for an international post, the Irish fans are extremely important, and I don't think the Irish fans would take to Neil Lennon or the current Celtic manager. He's just, as I said, he's regarded as a really good coach. Again, the name, I can't think of it right now. But the thing is, he's neck and neck with Rangers for the title. And
that's right.
I don't know if he'd, again, it's like everything. One of our friends from News Talk and Off the Ball happened to mention the Irish job as kind of like a poison chalice at this stage, that it's not really something that's very, very attractive because the Irish media tend to really ramp it up coming into an international and you get more analysis than you would if you were over in England with a club team week on week, that it's you're under the microscope in a really, really big way.
Yes, because it's such a small little pond. And I mean, we do have reporters here, sports reporters, with some of the press that I feel have a very negative approach to anything to do with the Irish international team, and particularly with the FAI. There's a guy at the Mail, Quinn is his name, and I remember going back years, and like he was down here in 2011. I can't think of his first name now, but he's a long, long time a journalist, and he does writes for the Daily Mail. And you know, I often think, can anybody be more negative than this guy? And that's the kind of thing that you get. Look, the smartass guys, in my opinion, is what I'd call them. Now, I would have gone, and I think that if I was looking at this, because the job they're describing is as a coach, not a manager, that we have some very good young Irish coaches. And then one of the guys is Paddy McCarthy, that's at Crystal Palace.
That's correct, yeah.
And even when managers leave Crystal Palace, Paddy McCarthy is kept on as the head coach. Now, Brian Kerr spoke about him recently, because Brian worked with him with the Irish team with John O'Shea, and he did say, the guy is brilliant at organising a team defensively, midfield-wise, and knows what he to do. The other man that I would have been very fond of is the guy that's assistant to Thomas Tuchel at Bayern Munich.
Aha, uh-huh, yes.
Now, he worked with Stephen Kenny for a short while, and again, they all reckon that at the time that he was with Stephen Kenny, that was when the team was at its best because of the organisational skill of that man. I can't think of his name now.
That's
off
right.
The top of my head.
Yeah, no.
Now, maybe there is a suggestion that with Thomas Tuchel leaving Bayern Munich, that this guy might leave as well. And is that what they're waiting for?
Well, it could be that. And you know what? Maybe we haven't given Brendan Rodgers the what you call it, a fair deal here. I'm just looking at a Wikipedia on Brendan. Born the 26th of January 1973, is a Northern Ireland professional football manager. He basically started off his career as a defender at Ballymena United, which I didn't know, where he stayed until he was signed by Reading at the age of 18. He was invited by Jose Mourinho to leave Reading when he was a manager and joined Chelsea as a youth manager in 2004. So, I mean, he has tremendous pedigree. And even when the Manchester United job came up before Erik ten Hag took it, he was in the mix.
Yes, and I mean, he did manage Liverpool, didn't he?
Correct, he did. And I mean, only for a couple of biting incidents and a few other bits and pieces and a slip by Steven Gerrard, they could have been left in the trophy that particular year, you know. So, I mean, it's, as I said, maybe we're not doing him justice.
And far be it for me to suggest, Tom, that you wouldn't give the man justice. I think that basically, if they're looking at a coach, you need a guy like the McCarthy or the guy that's at Bayern Munich. And there's one or two others as well that are serious. Because it does appear to me that when you read about coaching and all of that today, that there's a number of Irish guys who have really excelled as coaches at various clubs. And, like, you know, what they need is to get an opportunity. And remember, these guys would all be young enough to relate to the current squad of players.
That's true. Absolutely. That's very important.
That is very, very important, because there's no point in having a guy that's equivalent of a grandfather to some of the players, because there's no way they're going to be on the same wavelength. It's like, I like Brian Kerr, and I make no bones about that. And I listened to Brian talking about the setup with John O'Shea, and he couldn't get over how things have changed with regard to the way players are given the information on their performance, on everything they do on a DVD, because that's what the analysts do. And sure, if you look at it, Tom, every inter-county hurling and football team, they're doing the same thing. The players are getting all this analysis stuff. So basically, you need a guy that's tuned into it.
Oh, absolutely. And I would be one of Brian Kerr's biggest fans. And I think there was an agenda against him within the FAI when he was the manager. And I mean, he managed to bring Roy back into the fold. And, you know, Roy doesn't really do, fools lightly. And he got on, he managed to turn his, no one ever thought that Roy Keane would come back to the Irish setup as a player. And he managed to do that. And many, many years ago, I was involved in a coaching conference over in UL with Brian Kerr and his former assistant, the late, I can't think of his name. Is it Ronnie? But anyway, no. the thing was,
that man, he was the manager or the assistant to him when they won that underage tournament.
Correct.
That Damien Duff and Robbie Keane,
that's right,
and all that were on.
And they were, I mean, that realistically, Brian Kerr is the most successful Irish manager in history.
Yeah. So if you had him with a top-class coach like Paddy McCarthy or that other man, and maybe involve John O'Shea as well,
yes,
in the whole setup, you would have a thing that looks to me like it would be capable of planning well into the future.
Absolutely, I would agree with you. Just before we finish, any chance of Ireland taking on Sam Allardyce for the role? Poor old Sam, he was with Limerick. Well, he was with Limerick many, many moons ago. And in fairness, only for his dealings with Saudi Arabia and God knows what else, he probably would have done a half a decent job with England. I think he's an underrated manager. He's had a tremendous amount of success with his teams, with Blackburn Rovers and bits. You know, but again, it's like everything. You need a modern coach that is equipped with the, I suppose, with all the tools to be able to deal with the modern footballer.
Yeah, you do indeed. And I mean, he's out of management now for a long, long time. It's like all this old guff every now and then about Roy Keane as well. And he's out of management as well for a long, long time. And I think that Roy is a bit abrasive. And I do kind of suggest that the reason we lost Declan Rice in particular is down to the row between Roy Keane and Johnny Walters.
No, that's true, and we've spoken about that in great detail before. And I suppose in a way it's a men's game, and you have to sometimes take the abrasive hits. But having said that, if you're a young player who can be influenced, then that is not the right way to basically accommodate the youth players within that kind of scene. When you have older pros going at one another, it's not good. It's, again, it doesn't bring, and that was towards the end of the what you call it, but like everything, it's about the harmony in the camp means an awful lot.
It does indeed, because as you know yourself, the young guys today, they don't always have the
Oh, you're still back. You're back with us, Jim. There, did you call into did you call into the drive through in Shannon or something like that?
No,
we lost you for a second.
My private jet has just passed overhead and buzzed me.
Jim, listen. We could be here for hours and hours hours. But look, what I'm going to do for you today, Jim, I appreciate it, as always, coming on to the Clare Football Show and giving us your unique take on Clare football and the international scene. I'm going to play out today with Beyonce and Texas Hold'em, because I'd say you're someone that likes their music when even country or folk, whatever it is, and Beyonce has given a certain twist to the music world that only you can in soccer terms. Jim, listen, thanks a million for joining us today, and we'll talk very, very soon.
Thanks, Tom. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks a million. Thanks a million for joining us on the Clare Football Show for this episode, and we will see you very, very soon on Scariff Bay Radio. Take care from me, Thomas Botcher, and from my colleague who couldn't be with us today, Luke Fleming. Until the next time.